Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very VARY Necessary Podcast.
Woo-hoo! Now, that should have been the entrance to the 150th.
We still celebrating.
Are we still celebrating?
We still celebrating.
It's all month
All month long.
Okay.
All year long.
I saw on a post, Andre 3000 and Big Boy, he's talking about Flutie Hoo.
Yes.
Flutie Hoo.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's supposed to be like a headliner for a jazz fest or something.
Yeah. And they took a picture together.
And Andre and Antoine.
And he was like, Flutie Hoo. Because, you know,
he plays flute now. I love him. Cute.
But you know what? I just love to see, like, them grow and evolve in different spaces, and then they're, you know,
come back
and
together.
They're still together.
That's genuine friendship.
It is. It is.
They it had is. To find themselves separately.
Right.
And they never rolled on each other's identity, though. They've
always been
different,
their own person,
and accepted each other's
right, and I think that's what made it work. Like, you have to be different. It has to be a difference in between. You know, you're the same, but you're different.
Because you know how groups disband and there's always some type of strife in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When Big Boy went to do his little movie thing, Andre went to do his movie, and then he started to evolve into this different person. Right. And then I think they had separate albums at one time.
Yeah,
But I thought they
did it as a joint venture, though. I think they did. They recorded
Speaker Box and Love Below,
right? But it still was considered one album.
Yeah, it was one album, but they were able to be their own creative
selves.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I think after that album dropped, I think that's when they really separated out, and it was I don't think they came back with a album after that. I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I gotta look it up. I think after that first, what was their first album?
AT Aliens?
Yes.
No, AT Aliens was their second album. Their first album was
Outkast?
Yeah. The first album.
Oh, yeah, I think it was Outkast.
Yeah.
It was?
No.
Southern
Playalistic, we saw Andre and Antoine as, you know, two boys from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Two dope boys in the Cadillac, right? Mm-hmm. And then it was when AT Aliens, the second album, came out, is to where Andre began to evolve into this different being. Mm-hmm. Antoine was still himself.
Mm-hmm.
Andre was the one evolving at that point. So this was beyond Love Below,
right?
Speaker Box.
I think it just grew.
He morphed into his own person early on, into that, you know, musical relationship or you know, friendly relationship. Who knows? And they love to say that Erykah Badu bought that on him, but
I think they were two of the same.
They were.
They were two of the same.
I just think he, you know, at some point in life, everybody has this spiritual awakening in them as to which route they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, I have, my personality is can go either way. I can be your spiritual empress, or I can be your thuggish, ruggish bone. It's however the day play out with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you can start in the morning as one and end in the evening as another.
Right. It's just kind of, you know, where the day takes me.
Uh-huh.
But I just want to say, since I have been on this journey of understanding life and people, I tell everybody all the time, I'm a people watcher. I'm a life enthusiast. Ever since I have been on this journey of actualization and awareness, oh my God, I feel like I am just now in my 40s stepping into my womanhood.
Mm.
I feel like I was just existing up to this point where I really like honed in on, damn, that's what this mean. Damn, this would just feel like, my God, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you have these epiphanies on, this is what they was trying to tell me all along. Like, you feel so free.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just thank God for the discernment to understand it all. Mm-hmm. And not to feel no kind of way about nothing. Mm-hmm. So nobody don't owe me nothing. I don't owe nobody nothing. Because it just is what it is. It's life. It's the journey. You're going to meet some great people on your journey. Mm-hmm. You're going to meet some fucked up people on your journey. You're going to have great lessons. You're going to experience great things. You're going to experience a whole lot of losses and a whole lot of pitfalls into, see, this is why they told you not to do that shit that way. Mm-hmm. And now you see. And so either you're going to learn and grow from it, or you're going to keep backing that goddamn car up and hitting that goddamn brick wall.
And it's so sad that we have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And but sometimes we have to go through to understand. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, we would never know what struggle would be like, or we would never know what disappointment would be like. We wouldn't know a lot of things if we just always took the advice of what the other person could be great sound advice.
Right.
But we wouldn't understand why these people tell us these things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dang.
But it wouldn't be a journey. It wouldn't be a journey. If you listen to everything everybody told you and did it that way.
Right.
I tell my daughter all the time, and this goes back to our last show. When I get to my feelings with my daughter and she don't listen, I said, nigga, I'm giving you the answers to the damn test. And you still want to put down the wrong shit.
Right.
So you wonder why you keep failing?
But
this is
what?
It right here.
When time come, they going to remember everything you said.
Verbatim.
Yes.
My daughter has told me. She said, Mama, you gave me the answer to the test.
Yep.
I just put the wrong thing down.
Yep.
This is how I know this nigga's listening. She is listening to me.
And this is why children come back to us, because they trust us after we say what we said, and then they have to go through what they go through, and they come back. You were right.
I did that for my mentor a couple of years ago. I had to, because she was trying to mentor me, because she saw what I couldn't see in myself at the time. And I was like, I just wasn't. And I had to tell her, I want to thank you for continuing to believe in me. And I want to apologize for not seeing what you was trying to tell me, because I see it now. Mm-hmm. And so when I was ready to do all the things I needed to do as far as career, as far as personal life, like you said, Yosha, everything just started to evolve, and it's still evolving.
That's what she was trying to do.
And that's what I said. And it's just kind of like, and I told her, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you. And she said, I'm still here. She said, I didn't go anywhere. Mm-mm. And I just, and it happens though. Even when parents, it's a lot of things that people say to you, and you're just like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Mama told you it'd be things like this.
I had to have a real life conversation with my mom one time. I followed this girl on Facebook. And this is where my spiritual understanding came from, in a sense, with one of her posts. She was basically saying that she didn't feel like her parents or her mother per se prepared her for life, prepared her for womanhood. And if we really think about it, Sue and Vaughn, did our parents prepare us for what we had up against us? They told us to go to school. Go to college, get a job, get in a relationship with, you know, a good guy, you know, have a kid, have a family, you know, whatever, whatever. They told us, they basically gave us textbook, you know, this is the plan, follow it. But did they teach us how to navigate through everything? And this is what I tried to explain to my mom. I said, you told me everything that I should do, but you didn't teach me how to navigate through, you know, the detours and the pitfalls and the this and the that. And so I did not feel as prepared stepping into womanhood as I should have been. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've always been the mom that I want to be to my daughter, because I want to teach you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't do this. Don't do that. Check that shit as soon as it happened. Because when you don't check shit when it happened, the motherfuckers think that they can do something even worse to you the next time. So Yeah, that's just kind of where I am with that, which leads kind of into the show we're going into today, where I talk about where we're going off topic of, you know, a post that I was able to witness. That's what I say. I witnessed something. And it kind of broke down relationships because people got a warped sense of what the fuck a relationship, a situationship, a contract or an agreement is supposed to be, especially when it comes to, you know,
intimacy
mm-hmm. and partnership, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, business or relationship. So, yeah, let's look. How they say, let's get into it. If I can get the phone to act right.
Now you were talking about me earlier.
Yeah, I was. And I be on some old lady shit sometimes. But, oh, okay. Hold on, let me get it together. We might have to edit this portion of the show. Because I didn't know the shit wasn't going to act right. Here we go.
A pleasure contract in a relationship is a relationship requires obligation and accountability. See, when you have a pleasure contract, I sex my queen when I sex her. We go to the movies when we want to go to the movies. We go to the Bahamas when we want to go to the Bahamas. We go to the festival when we want to go to. It's all pleasure based. I see you when you want to see me. You see me when you want to see me. Relationship, I'm accountable to you whether we having fun or not. Relationship, your long-term best interest as a human being is part of my responsibility. A lot of people are calling pleasure contracts and situationships, which is when neither one of you really know what the hell this is. We're calling them relationships and they're not. So number one, we got to be honest about what the particular structure is. Is this situationship? We just trying to figure it out. Is this a pleasure contract? We just having fun in and out of the bed when we feel like it? Or is this a relationship where you're going to be accountable to me even when you are angry and upset and don't want to be bothered? What exactly is this? Because there's a big difference. And unfortunately, because we don't communicate with the women in our lives as men, once they open their legs, they tend to assume that there's some sort of a relationship here. No matter how minuscule, we never clarify that. And the reason we never clarify that is in our selfishness as men, we like to have our cake and eat it too. And the difference between a pleasure contract and a relationship.
So, let's talk about it.
He said a mouthful.
He said a mouthful with his cake and eat it too. A lot of men want to have a cake and eat it too. That's why they use terms like, I thought we was just kicking it. We taking it slow. We friends.
They don't want accountability. That's it.
No, do you think? You think they don't want
accountability? Yeah, they don't. They don't want to be obligated. Let me say that. It's no obligation.
Okay.
If we just kicking it, there's no obligation. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be held accountable.
Right. And I can do what I want to do with who I want to do it with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I want to play off of something he said in there. The structure. A lot of people have an issue with structure. Being told what to do, having expectations put upon them. And that's why it's easier to say, let's kick it, let's be friends, rather than say, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to this. Mm-hmm. What is it that you need me to do for your life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, with my Scorpio self, any person that I get involved with, I put the disclaimer out there. This shit ain't gonna be easy. It ain't gonna be fun most times because, you know, I am the person I am, and that's just what it is. You either gonna like it or you gonna ride off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be here, you're wanting to be here. I'm not recruiting you to be here. You want to be here. So with that sense, like here's my contractual, you know, deets on what you need to do in order to retain me as your partner. Now, you got every opportunity in the world at that point. Jump ship.
Hell no. I don't want to do this because I'm telling you from the gate, we're going to be together. You paying all the bills. All of them. Because that's what I'm used to. Now, some bills I go and create on my own, that's my responsibility, yes. But if we are in a marriage, so we ain't dating to date. We ain't dating for sport. This ain't fun. Nigga, what we moving towards? Because I ain't kicking it with nobody. I ain't having fun with no goddamn body. You ain't wasting my time for the next 5 years and then you gonna tell me,
oh yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to be friends and kick it, but I really don't want to be in a relationship.
What were we doing?
Right.
And then they want to know why.
Because the minute we get in the bed, nigga, we go together.
Somebody told my male BFF that when we was in college. As soon as they had sex, yeah. She said,
you know,
damn,
we go together. You mine.
Oh, we go together, right?
Yeah.
You mine.
Oh, God.
No, that's gonna be a conversation before you even insert your peen into the abyss, period.
So you said something in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The contract, as we're talking about, it should happen. This conversation should happen in the beginning.
In the beginning.
So there's no confusion
right.
on what's going right. on moving forward.
That way it's never moving too fast. I think we're moving too fast.
At least niggas before always you like start to say, sleeping with yeah, the person.
Niggas right. always like to say we moving too fast after they done got what they want to get.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Well, you done played all in my ass. What the hell now?
What you want?
We moving too fast?
Yeah.
Sir, we weren't moving too fast when we was in that bed. No.
You weren't hurt enough from the prior relationship right. to sleep with me.
Yeah, right.
Right, right. Exactly. That's crazy.
Oh, I'm still healing. I'm still trying to figure shit out.
Well,
okay.
You need to be by yourself.
Well, but there you go. You in your hand. Y'all figure that out while we kicking it. Because we can kick it. I can go to dinner with you. Let me tell you something about me. I've never been a gold digger. I just choose to date men with money because I know the type of lifestyle I live. So if you want to kick it and you want to be friends, I enjoy your time and I enjoy your conversation because there are men in my life that I just enjoy, you know, their presence. We can go out to eat. You can pay for your shit. I can pay for mine. I'm just spending time with you. But when you want to spend time with me because you're trying to get to know me and you're trying to court me.
Yeah, well, you have an interest in me.
Yeah, goddamn it, it is different. On you. Because yeah. I didn't call your ass. I wasn't interested in you first. You pursued me, nigga. So if you pursued me, nigga, that's when the clock started. That's when the cash register started ringing. Okay, you
that's where everything
you wanna,
start adding up.
Nigga, you want to talk? That's why I don't talk on the phone. I don't want to talk on the phone. I want to talk and eat. So you have a choice now. You can either talk and eat and pay for my damn food. Why are you talking me to death? Because I don't even know if I want to be here with you yet.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I give you a free dinner on me when I could have been doing something else? Now, there are men who I want their presence. I want to be in their environment. Hey, I'll call them up. Hey, let me take you to dinner. Can I take you to breakfast, brunch? I've gone on dinner dates with men and because I'm pursuing them, I'm courting them, whatever reason it is, I want to take them out. I've brought them gifts to the dinner. Do you know how surprising that was? You bought me something? Yeah, I did. Because I wanted to sit down and I wanted to talk to you. And this is what I do to men that I take an interest in. I not only take them to breakfast or dinner or lunch or whatever, I also give them a gift. Because now I'm showing you, I like gifts too. That's my love language. So I'm showing you how I want to be loved. And at that point, he can make the decision if he wants to continue to pursue this with me and go along with the program or get the fuck on.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what about the dinner happens and there's no talk about contract or there's no talk about future. There's no talk about its interest. Like,
then we don't talk no more.
just keep it platonic.
Yeah.
Okay. So but, you don't write them all the way off. Or you
no,
just
no, no. But if anything is to be done at that point, the ball's in your court. I've already told you what I wanted from you. So now you show me if you want to continue dealing with me, talking to me, pursuing me back, because I've already showed you that I'm interested. But I'm not going to keep, you know.
How long is too long?
To pursue someone?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, child.
How long is too long?
I
seriously.
Had someone pursuing me.
No, I think after that first, I think after that first initial date, you kind of know if you're going to jive with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. after that, because I feel like, y'all.
Yeah, you're right.
My time is my money. My time is so valuable. I don't have, I'm almost dead. I'm almost for 50 Lord. Years. Look.
About 20 summers left. What they say, 20 summers?
I don't know if I got 30. More days in front of me than behind me That's yet because right. I'm still in that middle. Uh-huh. But I don't have any time right, or money right. to waste on anyone. Right. So if anything remotely comes out of my mouth, you looking at how I'm living, ain't what you want, let me know so I can go on about my business. Because my time is my time. And I ain't going to feel no kind of way. We cool. We can be friends on Facebook. I comment on your shit. You comment on mine. If you say something, I can jive with. But I ain't got to fuck with you no more.
I have a question about what he said when it came to pleasure contract. Mm-hmm. And the relationship that you know you are invested into. So just looking at people that we know, situations, and we don't know everything that goes on in everyone's household, but just on the outside looking in, would you say that most of the relationships appear to be pleasurable contracts and not investments?
Yep.
Because if it was an investment, then you wouldn't be doing the things that you would be doing outside of mm-hmm. like hurting that person or, mm-hmm. Disregarding their feelings or whatever. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that are in pleasurable contracts is going out to eat, going shopping,
movies,
or,
trips.
It's involving money.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much anything that feels good. Right. But are you in the trenches with me when
right.
times
that's,
get
that,
hard?
That's where the responsibility of the partnership comes in.
Because
mm-hmm. people want to have the fun. Like I told y'all before, everybody want to be at the party.
Right.
Everybody wants to be in the moment of the party. But nobody wants to set up the party and nobody wants to clean up after the fucking party. But everybody going to be there at a party.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's what I don't like. Nigga, you going to be there to start it up, fix it up, and you going to be there for the cleanup. Oh, we ain't got to have
this shit.
Nobody want to
be there for the cleanup.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. Like, I don't like that. I don't like that. Every time I go to a friend's event, this is someone I love. This is someone who I have a responsibility to.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I call them beforehand.
If you do.
What do you need me to do?
Yep.
What do you need me to bring? What do you need me to do to help set up?
I can confirm.
How can I do this to make this event successful for you?
Right.
I stay to the end of the event.
Yep.
And I say, in what capacity do you need me in to help you clean up and get this straight
mm-hmm.
so we can get out of here.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I can attest that these people in the room with me do the exact same to me because they understand my love language. They reciprocate what I give. And that's why we are in a longstanding relationship. We're not in a pleasure. What is it? A pleasure ship?
Pleasure relationship,
pleasure contract. Right. We ain't in no situationship because I can say what I need to say and it don't hurt no feelings. And it's, you know, it just has to be a mutual understanding. I don't want nobody around me who gonna always show up late, ain't never gonna stay to clean up, you know, don't want to put no money in on the goddamn gig. You know what I'm saying? But yet gonna come and ride and have a good time. Like, I don't want that.
You said something earlier when you said, I stay and see where I am needed. to help make it go faster so we can get up out of here. Mm-hmm. So just think about a relationship. If now not the pleasurable one, the one that's invested, right? And that person you thought was invested, and they end up being on the pleasurable side because when times got rough, what they did, they backed out. But if you stood in there and helped that person that you said that you're committed to and you are, you need to be accountable for your actions, don't you think you kind of might get out a little quicker? You know, if you just help your partner out or whatever, you know, it may be a decision that needs to be made and that person may be on the road to making the wrong decision.
Right.
But you as the partner and you say that I am in this and we are committed, don't you think that you helping them out with the decision will make things easier, or it could be making it harder? Who knows? But at least you are giving some input and not running away and making it more pleasurable, because to her now she's going to feel like, well, what was this for? Why are we in this? But
actions speak louder than words. So you can tell me all day that you love me. You can tell me all day you're there for me. You can tell me all day you support me. But if the actions don't coincide with what you said, what you said don't mean shit.
I just feel like this right here. If you and a person are together, you don't let them ride the wave alone. Mm-mm. You gotta, because you can combat anything together than being alone, unless that person just ain't worth it. And then why are you with them?
Right.
You can do it all by yourself.
And then that's when you need to assess again.
Right. I can do it by myself. If I'm going to drown, I'm going to drown alone. Right. I don't need to drown with you.
And that's why I said a while back in a post, I said, be careful who you attach yourself to. Because they can make or break you. So you have to be very mindful. And that's why we have my first date is an interview process. I'm taking applications. You make it to the date, then you on an interview. You on your job interview. And I need to see if you're going to be a worthwhile employee here.
And you know what?
So do you put them on a probationary period?
Oh, God,
what
damn
happens
right.
when the masks fall off? How long does it take the mask
well,
to fall
you
gotta off?
Well, you got to know your worth, I think. Well, you got to know your worth in order to know how long that person going to be around.
Right.
So if you don't know your worth, that person's going to be around all along forever.
And I do feel like when you're more self-evolved, when you're more self-aware, then I think the process is shortened.
It is because it's very short.
I don't have time for this.
It's very short. When you know your value, your worth, you know that you just know you.
Yeah.
You're not going to stay in a situation much longer than it needs to be.
Well, my shirt say value does not beg.
And when you don't know your value, you stuck because you don't know what you're worth.
Right.
Do I need to be here? Do I need to be taking this? Like, I just, at a certain point in life, it's like, when do you wake up and just be like, this ain't it.
Right. And one day you will wake up. And I hear so many people, like, you know, me, even though I love the children, but talking to adults, talking to couples when they come in for therapy, they always come in and say, one day I just woke up and say, I don't know this person. And I don't even think I want this anymore. But now do you true? Is it? What is it? Is it because you have evolved and your path is going in a different way and this person is just stagnant?
Right.
And there's no growth there.
Or maybe they both grew, yet grew apart.
Right.
And that
versus
happens.
together.
Right. But you can grow apart and still be together. But it just takes a lot of communication.
I had a discussion with my baby's father yesterday. I've known this man 31 years.
You just got to let that person be who they are.
Got to let that person be who they are.
We've both been married to other people, co-parented, and remained friends throughout our entire 31 years of knowing each other. So we've basically grown up together. Mm-hmm. When I met him, I was 16 and he was 18. Going on 19. So now, him into his 50s, I'm in my late 40s. We just look at the evolution of us and how we were able to, throughout everything we've been through in life, still remain friends. And
I would consider him as a partner. Mm-hmm. I co-parented with him. He's my partner in a sense. Mm-hmm. Not in a relationship, but a partner. Like one of my best friends ever. Mm-hmm. So it's possible to grow together yet not apart and not even be in like an intimate relationship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, everything is totally doable. It's just up to the maturity level of the two people.
That's it.
As to how we're going to navigate this through this space together.
Right.
Because I think sometimes people, especially when you have a past with them, they see that 16-year-old girl. They don't see the 47-year-old young woman that you have grown to be involved. And you, they want that mindset of the 16-year-old.
Oh no, they're not gonna get that.
And that's not it. They want that love. They want, but I still love you. But yet, life has happened, and things have happened to cause me to grow and mature. And that's not. This is the person you need to be in love with, not that 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because I mean, she's still there, but she's just.
And I would ask, what is it that you liked about the younger me? That is,
or the me when you first met,
because see, I probably was gullible,
naive,
you can get over on me, and now that I have come into my own, and you can't get that, and you say, "I wish you was the same." That see, you want to control,
right?
And it's not there no more.
And it's not no.
But you know what? You present a valid argument here, Vaughn. If people spent less time talking about themselves and really going, because to me, if you're at a date with somebody, right, and you're talking about yourself, you're basically giving them the answers or the inside into what it's going to take to, you know, kind of persuade you to do what they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. When I go out with somebody or I see that they've piqued the interest, what you want with me? What you like about me? Mm-hmm. I ain't giving no answers. I want to know what it is that you see. If the first thing come out their mouth is, I think you sexy. Or I think if it's something sexual or something of pleasure, I don't pursue that. Right. I want somebody to tell me, well, I've been watching you for a while. I think you're very intelligent. I watch your posts. I see the type of things that you post. So now I'm seeing that you're watching me. You're watching my behavior. You see the things I like without me having to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Like your first topic of conversation isn't how beautiful I am or how sexy I am. I noticed that you said on one of your posts that you don't like talking on the phone. So I'm not even about to call you. So what's up? Let me meet you for dinner. I want to talk to you face to face.
That person's been studying you.
Like you studying me. So that way I know you're actually pursuing the woman I am, not the beauty, the aesthetic beauty of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
If you ain't trying to get in my drawers the first or second date, you actually like, hey, I want to spend more time with you so I can get to know you because I'm trying to make this a lasting relationship. Mm-hmm. This is how I know you're about me. And not what's in between my legs. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And but you got to be careful with even the clever men that think.
Oh yeah, they're clever. I love that word.
Clever. Yeah, they think I got her because they may watch you. Mm-hmm. They may size you up. Mm-hmm. They may tell you everything you want to hear.
Mm-hmm. The truth gonna come out.
It's going to always come
that's
out.
That's why I said.
Always come out.
Like, how long is too long for the probationary period, and when does the mask fall off?
You never know.
Yeah.
Some people able to disguise shit until.
Oh, boy.
You know, a year or two down the road until they actually marry.
Right.
And then you in the bed one day like, who the fuck did I marry?
Right.
Like, you know, you just kind of, but In hindsight, when these shits go left, does the person always come back and say, I saw some red flags, but I just wasn't paying attention to them?
At some point, it's going to crumble.
Yeah.
Right.
You can stack it and place it neatly.
Well, it crumbles when everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
But if you're not intuitive enough to see the red flags and put hope flag on the plate.
Right.
Wait a goddamn minute. Where did this come from? Mm-hmm. Because you're so enamored with this person. Then, I mean, whose fault is it really?
Right.
Yours.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't fault the other person.
It's not them. They shit. They put the red flag out there. You didn't stop the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true.
Exactly.
So, I don't blame anyone for ever breaking my heart or doing anything to me outside of, you know, me being an adult, because this is some shit that I allowed. I allowed you to do this
because
to me.
Because of love.
Yeah.
Or just because it was something I wanted from this person and I felt like giving them up, I wouldn't be able to get that again. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So you never know why people do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just is what it is. I just feel like at this day and age in our time, we shouldn't be making the same fucking 20-year-old mistakes we've been making.
No, no. Mm-mm.
We can't keep picking the same bad nigga.
Because that's when you got
to. We can't be having the same fucking conversation with people and friends. We can't. What was it? The pleasure relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just have friends who are here for the good times, who are here for the party.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I'm going to need you when the bad times when come on.
I have a friend, she loves to call me to talk about her and her problems.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I couldn't even get a word in edgewise because your motherfucking ass got. So now when I start talking about me, oh girl, I got to call you back.
Oh, wow.
Oh, girl. Oh, okay, well. So, guess what? The next time you call me, I'm busy. I don't have time to talk. Because I find it convenient how we can always talk and I can help you solve your problems, give you great advice, but you never even stop to say, so what's going on with your life? What you got going on? Who you dating? How's things going? How's things going with work?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the minute you jump on the phone with me, girl, let me tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's the party friend.
Right.
That's the pleasure friend.
And that too is a contract.
Mm-hmm.
It is. They only around for a good time.
Then you know where to place her. Mm-hmm. You know,
ooh,
where she,
him
know,
or her,
the contract. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the mm-hmm. guy that's mm-hmm. only around. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel like, you know, when it was I don't know if y'all ever sent men's pictures. You know, back in the day, a nigga be like, send me a picture.
Mm-mm.
More than likely, he wanted you to send a nude or something like that. I used to tell men, I got pictures on Facebook. We friends. Go look at one of them.
Right.
No, you know.
I never understood that.
No, you know. No, you know what kind of. You know. You know what kind of picture I want. So I just sent him a picture of me in the bed with no makeup on. You want me in the raw? Here you go.
Yep. In the raw.
With my little pajamas on. No makeup. Hair pulled back in the ponytail or my scarf on. I don't want that kind of picture. Why?
That's what you gonna get.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, I read it somewhere or somebody told me, they took a picture off the internet and sent it.
It was me.
It was you. Okay.
Yep. She used to do it all the time.
I used to take naked. So if you ever thought you got a nude from Yoshi, that motherfucker is right off the internet. Cause yeah, when I run for president, you won't be able to say that was my ass. So you can go ahead on and send my little picture in to the National Enquirer or whoever. That's somebody. They're gonna be able to Google that goddamn picture and be like, wait a minute,
wait,
that's off a porn website.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, I got a trick for their ass.
Do people still be saying that though? I don't.
Yeah, no, I think people.
It just depends on the person.
I think seeing nudes and body parts and different things and.
Well, yeah, because I know a married couple that said they do it to each other.
That's disgusting.
Is it because they're
why?
Oh, I thought maybe they were separated. Like,
no,
hey, that's what y'all husband want to see his titties.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, excuse me, Chris.
Okay.
Maybe your husband wants to see his or maybe you want to see your husband's appendage.
You know, it helps them get through the day.
Hey, if you like it, I love it.
Right.
I know me and my man ain't finna do that.
Right. Yeah.
But you gotta know your partner, because you gotta know your partner. Fall out.
Baby. Ooh, goodness. And Vaughn.
And how people now, doing all this revenge porn.
Don't you
now?
Have some friends who that shit came back to bite them in their ass?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because relationships can go left.
Yes.
And now they got all this shit on you.
Splattered all on the internet.
And now next thing you know, you on the porn website because you and Harry done decided y'all gonna make y'all a movie while y'all was down in the Dominican Republic.
Right.
And now your ass all over the damn
right.
What is it? Red tube.
What is
that? XXX. Yeah, red. Red tube. Something.
Now you all over red tube with Harry.
Red tube.
Because Harry mad at your ass and he done made you a hoe. Yeah.
Look it up. It's old. Red tube old.
Y'all better figure out what you're dealing with. Are you in a what was the other relationship?
No, it was just a pleasure. It's
a pleasure relationship versus a responsible or a responsibility relationship. I was telling my girlfriends on the way up here to tape the show. I love the fact with my husband that, you know, he wasn't the most honest man in the world. But when it came to the honesty of him loving me, it was a beautiful thing. So I caught my husband up in a couple of little instances. But he expressed to me, he said, I'm never going to be invested in another woman like I am invested in you. There's a difference between when you think a man just dealing with you for the time being and then he's up and gone. I knew in my heart of hearts being married that it was going to be till death do us part. Mm-hmm. Because I was never worried about my husband leaving me. He was too invested in our marriage, in our love. He might go out here and do some shit that I don't agree with. But as far as him coming home and loving me, I never had a question that. I never questioned it, never had a question about it. It was what it was because he was invested.
He didn't run from his responsibility. I think that's what most people, right. We want the investment, mm-hmm. but they run from it.
Yeah.
They want mm-hmm. it. It sound good yeah. until something happens.
Mm-hmm. There was a time
then when it's too much.
Yeah, there was a time when he didn't live in the house. And he paid every bill in that house every month like he did when he lived there.
Some people just, when the going gets tough, you know, it's too much. Or who was it? They were in a relationship and I can't remember what happened, but they were in a relationship and it got to be too much and they left the person.
Mm-hmm.
This was a celebrity. I can't remember who it was, but it gotten to be too much mm-hmm. and they left the person because it was just too much. They didn't want to. I think the girl had a court. She was going to court. She had a lot of court stuff going on with her. And he said he couldn't deal with it. It was too much.
Well, let's think about why should she have had to? Because the person who she was leaving, I guess I'm assuming it was a male, right?
The male left. Mm-hmm.
But why didn't she have the discussion with him like, hey, I know I got a lot of shit going on in my life right
now. Well, it was. And they I didn't know it was going to play out that way.
In the public eye. I don't want you being attached to me. There goes that word again. You being attached to me to hinder your success.
Right.
So rather than you leaving me, I am going to give you the door and the space to detach yourself from me and my situation, because all I want is for the best for you. So if you being attached to me is going to play a part in, you know, the destruction of your career, I don't want to do that.
That's just like you meet a guy, and this happened to me, real situation. I met him while he was on bond. I didn't know he was on bond, but mm-hmm. I found out throughout talking to him. Yeah. And I said, so how do you think this is going to play out? Because I'm not going to hold you down. And I was being honest. I'm not holding mm-hmm. you down. So I was in a pleasurable contract mm-hmm. all day long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to hold you down. Like, what does this look like? Because I don't, one, I'm just meeting you.
Right.
And two, I'm not going to be a prison wife.
Right.
A prison girlfriend. What you call that? People who write...
Pen pal.
I'm not your pen pal. I'm definitely not going to be your pen pal. Don't look for me to put nothing on your books. Don't call me every 5 minutes. Like, so I'm not here. I'm just here for a good time, not a long time. So,
but like I said, nor should he have expected you to be any of those things. At that point, you are a young woman and you should have been able to go out here and date who. Why should I put my life on hold because yours is?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's crazy.
Exactly. Never. Mm-mm. We're not doing that.
Nope. That's, and like, I, a, and that's like a man saying, if something happened to me, you better not never get married again.
That
why would you?
Right.
In my early, my son was probably like 5-6 years old mm-hmm. when I met this dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah.
No, it, you said nah.
But let's talk about that situation, Sue, because have there been times where people have come along and expected us to hold on while they figure things out, while they get things together? And now that I'm happy and I'm with someone, here you are circling the block, coming back. Oh, well, who this dude? Or what you doing? Oh,
of course they have. So
you didn't want a relationship with me. You didn't want an actual contractual partnership, official relationship with me. But now that I have one with someone else who is going to do the shit that you would not do, it's a problem.
It's a problem.
When you had access to me, you didn't do what it took to make sure that you locked me down.
Right.
Or they thought that they had time.
No.
They thought they had the time. They assumed they had the time. They assumed
their time, but not my time.
Right. And they assumed that you would wait. And you're not going to wait. You're not.
Why give them the audacity to even think that?
Right.
Like, what?
Selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Goddamn selfishness. Anybody who doesn't see the other person's life first and your value or your possible demise to their situation, mm-hmm. they don't mean you no damn good.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. At all. Hold me back.
Mm-mm.
I used to tell my daughter something when she was a little girl. I said, you know how you can tell who your real friends are? I said, your real friends are never going to ask you to do something that's going to hurt you. Your real friends only want to be happy for you and right. with you and make you feel good. Mm-hmm. So anybody that makes you feel bad, anybody that tries to hurt you, they are not your friend. They do not love you. Right. Get away from them.
Right.
To be honest, that is your enemy.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's your enemy. That mm-hmm. that person is jealous, envious, hateful.
And they're only around you to see and to get close to you to see
You fall.
Yeah.
No, they want to see
you fall. Or to get what they can get for you.
Yeah.
Get what they can get for you.
Suck you dry.
Right.
Suck you dry.
And then when you all dried out and dead on the side of the road, where they at?
talking about you and knowing that you're the reason why they're like that,
mm-hmm. right?
But you know, they don't want to take, they don't see it that way.
Mm-mm.
How can you have blinders on?
Right.
Not the person that, not the,
well, it's the victim, like,
the
said.
Person that's doing, like, how can you be what's the word for it,
classic narcissism.
Yes.
Right. But it's also what you said earlier, accountability.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. How dare you blame me?
Right.
Exactly. I think narcissism and accountability go hand in
hand.
Oh,
it does. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I'm really trying to, like, get away from that word because I think it's so overused.
Now it is.
And so I want to just take it back to the old school. It's just selfishness.
It is. And some people just want what they want when they want it. And when they don't want you, they want to be the elf on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put you up there.
Pleasure contract.
Right. And we'll take you down when we're ready to play with you 24 days before Christmas.
There you go. Bullshit. I ain't nobody's elf.
Nope.
But, you know, some people are into, they're okay with the pleasure contract.
Well, mm-hmm. they okay.
And they are.
Go play
and
with them.
They okay. go and find them.
Mm-hmm. Find them.
But lose me.
There you go. Ooh. You said that. You said that. Right. Find them and lose me.
Yes.
Lose me.
They are okay mm-hmm. with it.
Words to live by in 2024. Yep. Get into it.
Yep.
We on a journey.
Yep.
This is not a dress rehearsal, people.
No, it's not.
And at that point, it's a community involved. It's a community thing. It's a community outreach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. It's community outreach.
Yeah.
Being a pleasurable.
Spread the word.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, just a part of taping this show is giving, you know, life jewels to people based on what we've experienced.
Right.
And I love that we have the platform to do it with, to do right. it in. So, I mean, you know, there are going to be things that people are going to hear from this conversation. They're going to agree with, disagree with, but you take the jewel or the jewels from this conversation and do what you wish with it.
Mm-hmm.
We just here with the information.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got some, what can they do, Vaughn?
You can always send us an also very necessary email to our email at theverynecessarypodcast@gmail.com. You can catch us on all podcast platforms, The Very Necessary Podcast, and never miss an episode on our website if you do not have any streaming
outlets,
I don't know.
If you don't stream,
you can always catch us on our website at theverynecessarypodcast.com.
She getting old, y'all. Yeah. Her birthday it's coming right. up.
It is. Girl.
Just haven't seen your moments.
Girl.
You pulling up. All right. You're trucking along.
Yeah, I'm trucking along.
In this season. Okay, each week, do something to improve your physical, financial, social, spiritual, emotional, and mental health. Why? Because self-care is very necessary.
And we out.
Bye.